Outlook 2022 is kind of our message topic and title for this morning. If you're visiting with us today, either here at our service or online, I want you to know that it's not a typical message for us. Normally on a Sunday morning worship time, we'll take a passage of Scripture and work through it, trying to expose and reveal and explain what the Holy Spirit intended through that particular biblical author and draw applications to our lives. Hopefully everything this morning is scripturally based, but instead of a sermon that's based in a particular text, this is more of an outlook, just assessing where we are as a church, looking for ways that God would have us to grow corporately. When I use that word corporate, I hope you don't think of the business world. It just means all together as a church body, as a church family, as a group, we want to grow corporately. But I want to invite you to set goals for growth personally as well. And of course, as we're each growing personally on an individual level, we'll grow corporately on a church level as well, as God does that work in each of our hearts. I want to read just a couple of passages of Scripture. As I begin to turn to those, the outline for this morning's message is on the back of your bulletin. Keith is in the back with some bulletins. And if you didn't get one, even if you're not normally a bulletin person, if you would raise your hand and Keith will get one of those to you so that you're able to follow along and pen in some things along with the message time this morning. Just something I want to encourage everyone to do. If you can dig up a pen, even if you have to share one across your row a little bit, just to intentionally really make your individual participation and commitment to the Lord this year. And this is designed to facilitate that. So anyone still missing a bulletin outline for that? Thank you so much, Keith. I want to read just a few verses from last week's scripture passage, just to refresh our minds. You don't have to turn there unless you'd like to, but Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 12. Just refreshing our minds what the Lord taught us through His Word last week. A forward focus that a people of faith in God must always have. Philippians 3:12, Paul writes, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ." Paul wanted to lay hold of that for which Christ had laid hold of him. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." As Christians, it's so important that we don't remain trapped in the past, that we secure our position in the present, that position of faith, but that we be forward focused, striving, straining toward that part of God's kingdom impact and increase that He wants us to lay hold of as He works in and through us. I want to read just a few more verses over in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, Jesus is speaking to His disciples. And the Bible, especially in the New Testament, has a lot to say about unity. The unity of God's people. That's God's desire for us as a church body, that we would have unity. Once again, Amos asked the question, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And unity is so important among God's people. And when God's people are unified around God's word, following God's desires for the increase of God's kingdom, God's power will be present. Matthew 18, Jesus says to His disciples in verse 19, "Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So here's a promise that our Lord gives to His disciples. that as they join their hearts united around God's purpose, that God will bring answers to prayer. And as they join physically together for the worship of God, that God's presence will be there. God's presence and God's power promised for those who pray for God's will and meet together in unity to worship Him. So let's begin in prayer this morning and ask God for that presence, for that power, for a vision as we look at an outlook for this new year. Heavenly Father, we praise You for these promises of Scripture. Thank You for the exhortation to press on. We thank You for the example that Paul set. Help us to mark him and those faithful ones around us so that we would not be stagnant, complacent, but rather be forward-focused, always seeking to grow. Lord, we thank You for the promise that You are in our midst this morning. And we thank You for the promise that as we agree together about earthly things that will have a heavenly impact, that You are pleased to answer our requests and to grant growth and achievement, not for our sakes, not for a selfish ambition or to consume it upon our lusts, but rather just for Your glory, Lord, through the advancement of Your kingdom, as we seek to latch hold of that which You have latched hold upon us for. Lord, help us to see it clearly, give us a passion for it, a zeal for it, and be pleased by the goals that we set, the commitments that we make, and work through us to see them achieved for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you have in your outline 4 points that we want to ask God to help us to be a certain kind of people. And this isn't just one person standing up in front saying, hey, here's the kind of people we need to be. These are things that I think our church body, over the years, over the decades, have sought to pursue. The type of people, as you read our Constitution, as you listen to what has been proclaimed in this pulpit over at least the 10-plus years that I've been here and what I understand from beyond that, these are what God has called us to. And even just as you read the New Testament, yes, this is the type of people that God wants us to be. May God help us to be this type of people. We'll look at four types of people that God wants us to be. The fourth will be kind of a theme, a point of emphasis for the 2022 year. So stay tuned, kind of keep your attention there toward the end. Number one, we want God to help us to be a people of commitment to God. That's the first blank in your outline, commitment to God. Hope that you want to be a person of commitment to God individually and corporately. Our prayer is that God would make us as a church body a people of commitment to God. This first point has to do with our core values as a church. You'll see the phrase worship, learn, connect, serve in our church brochures, on our website. It was the 2020 vision that we spent a lot of time in Sunday mornings through that year talking about worship, learn, connect, and serve. That wasn't just a 2020 theme, though. Those are core values that permeate this ministry and long have. And so what I want to encourage you to consider in your own heart and commit to the Lord in your own heart is to see what your next step is when it comes to commitment to God. Please don't fill in that first blank and say, well, I'm already a person of commitment to God. Well, let's wait for the second point. Rather, I hope you're a person who desires an increased commitment. Like Paul said, I haven't attained. I haven't arrived. I haven't apprehended. I want to reach further. I want to lay hold of more. I want increased commitment. So as we look at some steps, I want you to determine how far you've come and what your next step might be. And to, before we move on to the second point, commit to the Lord to make that next step if He's leading in your life in that way. So the first steps are this, bullet point one, to get saved. And that simply means that if you have come here, maybe it's your first time this morning, or maybe you've come again and again, but you've never trusted Christ as Savior, to be a person of commitment to God, to be part of what He's doing on this earth, and to be in His presence through eternity rather than separated from Him eternally in judgment. The Bible teaches, unless a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. You need to get saved. Our number one concern for everyone who walks through these doors is we want to help you with that. We want to show you God's gospel truth recorded in Scripture. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We want you to know that your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, that you have a relationship with God and a future home with Him in His eternal realm of light. So if you're not saved, hope you'll commit, make that commitment, not just for this year, but for today, to get saved. If you're already saved, your next first step, the second bulletin point, is to get baptized. If you've been saved but you've never been baptized, I would encourage you to commit this morning that part of your 2022 outlook is that you're going to get baptized. You're going to follow our Lord's example and in obedience to His command, in identification with His death and burial and resurrection, unashamed before His people and any from the world who might be watching, to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I identify with that death, burial, and resurrection. I'm a believer. We want you to get baptized. Thankful for the work of men in our church and also some outside expert help to get our baptistry reworked and up and running and ready to go. So as soon as we kind of get some of these baptismal rooms cleared out, as we finish up here on the platform, we're very close to that. So if you're interested in getting baptized, you can let us know that this morning. If you've been saved and you've been baptized, the next first step, bullet point number three, is to join the church. We want to encourage you, if you consider this your church home, or if you believe the Lord has led you here to worship with us, not just to be someone who comes and goes and isn't an official part of the body. We believe that church membership is clearly taught in New Testament Scripture and is God's will for every growing believer. And so if you're saved and you're baptized, but you've never joined, I want to encourage you to take that first step. Those are things that, many of you have had settled, taken care of years, decades gone by. But for those who are still on one of those first steps, I want to encourage you to make that commitment this year. For those who have done all of those things, well, let's move on to next steps. The next steps are, number one, worship. And worship is every area of our life, but meaningful expressions of praise in specific, and corporate expressions of praise in more specific, and those expressions that are intentionally, overtly meant to glorify God in the highest of praise by directly exalting His name. So when we come together and sing His praises, that's worship. When we come together and praise in prayer, thanking the Lord for who He is and what He's done, that's worship. When we walk through the doors as we come or go and leave a gift or a tithe or an offering in the collection place back there, that is part of our worship. We're proclaiming to God His worth. When God's word is proclaimed and read and we respond to it in our hearts, exalting the Savior, that is worship. Worship is the primary emphasis, really, of everything we do, but specifically we call this hour our morning worship service. If you have completed all of the first steps, but you're not regularly part of our morning worship every Sunday morning, I want to encourage you to take that next step to say, every Sunday morning, I want to be there. Now, it's not a commitment. It's not a promise. And no one's going to mark a red X if you, if you miss one here or there. I know sometimes things come up. There are legitimate reasons why some can't be here all the time, or maybe even can't be here regularly. But if we're honest, there are a lot of illegitimate excuses too. Well, I work on Saturday, so I'm too tired. Or, I think it might be drizzling outside, or my favorite team is playing on TV, or there could be a pothole, or my left pinky toe hurts, or, my goldfish just isn't acting like himself today. I better stay home. I want to encourage you to make a commitment. Because for anything else in life, for many things in life, we talk about membership, and maybe you're thinking of a membership that you have at a club or at a gym or something like that, where your participation is just optional. And if you feel like going, you go. And if it fits in your schedule, you go. Hope that you won't think of church that way, and specifically our worship hour together. I hope that you won't take what's left in your schedule and fit it in where you can, but instead that you will structure your schedule around the corporate gathering of God's people to exalt His name through worship and look into His Word so that we might be equipped to do His kingdom work. Would you make that a priority in your schedule? And if you haven't done this before, would you commit to the Lord that you are going to prioritize the regular gathering for worship as your next step? If that's something that you already are doing, then the next bullet point is learn. To learn God's truth. There is more in this book that you need to lay hold of. There is so much in here that I need a better understanding of. So much learning that each one of us still has to do from the pages of God's truth. We can learn it through the preaching time. We can learn it as we interact with each other. And it's a point of emphasis for our Sunday PM services. We call that the Learn Service. Also our Sunday school times are a great time for that. If you come on Sunday morning, but maybe that's the only time that you've really carved out in your schedule to come, I would encourage you, if the Lord is leading in your heart, to maybe say in 2022, as part of my outlook, I've come on Sunday mornings, I think I ought to learn more from God's truth. I want to start coming on the Sunday PM services as well. Sometimes that's an early service like today. Sometimes those are host home fellowships in people's homes. Typically just a 6 o'clock service where we take a deeper look into a section or topic of God's Word. Connect is the third bullet point. We want to connect as God's family. The New Testament has an awful lot to say about this, about people of God's church meeting together, sharpening each other, encouraging each other, serving each other. And in fact, if you just look in your concordance or do an online search for that phrase, one another, in the New Testament, you'll see many, many commands that have to do with our connecting together as God's family. This is something we try to emphasize at our weekday gatherings, specifically our Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study time. But there's men's book study Tuesday mornings. There's ladies' book study first and third Thursdays. There's men's prayer breakfast and other things like the men's conference this Saturday. Just great opportunities, ladies' Christmas party, things like that, to get together with God's people, sharpen, encourage each other, form some connections. Maybe you'd say, well, Thompson Road seems like a great church and all, but I don't really have a lot of close friends there. I don't know if I'm missed when I'm gone. I want to ask you, how hard are you working to connect with God's people? And could you, with your health and your schedule, find a way to prioritize our weekday gatherings? So maybe you're already coming on Sunday mornings. Maybe you already come on Sunday nights. Connect as God's family by prioritizing some of those weekday meetings. And then the fourth and final bullet point under number one here is to serve. And that is the idea of ongoing ministry. Hey, once you're saved, once you're baptized, once you've joined the church, once you're regularly attending and participating in our gatherings, we believe God's will is for all of us to have a ministry. He's given you at least one spiritual gift. He doesn't want you to be ignorant about it. He doesn't want you to hide it away. He's given it to you so that you can serve the people across the pew, the person you're looking at up here. We need to serve each other with those spiritual gifts. We need to evangelize the lost as part of our service. And so maybe your commitment for this year would say, I don't really have an ongoing ministry. Oh, I volunteered for VBS once, and that's great. But do you have a faithful, consistent, ongoing ministry that you've laid hold of, that you're going to be there week after week or day after day? And if something comes up that keeps you from doing it, you see that it's taken care of because you've taken ownership of a ministry. You're going to serve the Lord. That's part of your calling, and you want to be faithful in that area, whether it's working in the nursery, helping with building projects, whether it's seeing if you would be part of helping us to get our bus ministry up and running, whether it's visiting people that are shut in, whether it's helping with meals and phone calls and cards and many other ways. I have a full list I'll give you. If you say, well, I'm ready to serve, but I just don't know where I fit in, I want to encourage you to make that commitment in this year. So there's a blank at the bottom of that first point that says my 2022 step. I want to encourage you to write something there. If you're on one of the first steps, you haven't done all three of those first steps, would you write down that next step? I believe that's the Lord's will for you. I don't think that everyone that walks through these doors, that necessarily means it's God's will for them to join this church. But maybe if geographically or philosophically or something, there's another Bible preaching church that is faithfully standing for the gospel that you need to join, and maybe you're just traveling and happen to be with us today. Would you take those first steps? If you've taken those, would you take your next step? And whatever that is, I want you to, before the Lord, write that commitment there in that next line. I know I'm talking to some people that you've done all the first steps, and you'd say, well, I'm doing all the next steps too. I come, you know, no one's at everything, but I come to most of those gatherings, and you know, I have a faithful area of ministry service. I just want to invite you to commit to the Lord, faithfulness and growth in those areas, that you'd be even more faithful, that you'd be even more plugged in, that you would have a greater zeal in your service, and that God would help you to grow and sharpen so you could serve better, so that you can connect better, so that you can learn better, so that you can worship better. There's always growth. It's an upward cyclical process of discipleship that's worked into our core values there for point number one. All right. Just want to emphasize that. We'll come back to that every year and throughout the year because those are so important. We want you to know, hey, if I want to grow, what's my next step? And so it's outlined in that way for you. If you have further questions, please see us. Number two, so one is people of commitment to God. Number two, people of global mission. This is the missions point that has to do with our missionaries, people of global mission. I hope that even if you've been coming to Thompson Road for just a short time, you've seen, wow, these are a people with the global spread of the gospel, the great commission of Jesus Christ to go to all the world and teach the gospel and baptize people and teach them to obey. This is something that comes up quite often here. This is something that's at the heartbeat of Thompson Road Baptist Church. I sure hope that you've picked up on that. And if you've been coming a little longer than just a while, I hope that you are plugged into that and you're taking part in that. A few ways to do that. Number one, the first bullet point under point two is to know our missionaries. Do you know our missionaries? I thought about doing this morning. Maybe we'll do it in another service. I don't want to just embarrass people, but if I put up, we have around 50 missionary partnerships. If I put up a picture of a random picture of one of our missionaries, would you be able to tell me their name, their field of service, and maybe one ministry need or some detail that has to do with what they're doing for the Lord right now? Some of you, I believe, would be very sharp and would be able to do that. For other of us, we'd maybe squirm and you know, hope to move on to point three. Do you know our missionaries? There are several ways that we've tried to make it easy for you to do so. You know, when they come and present, of course, I hope you're here for that. You can watch their videos. Sometimes those things are posted on their Facebook pages or even shared on ours. You can stop by the missionary board that's right through this door here, where a selection of the most recent letters are posted. You don't have to file through a drawer or anything. They're just right there. You can pause in that hall every time you're here and read a couple of missionary letters. Even easier than that, Stephanie Woodruff emails just about every week a selection digitally of about three or four prayer letters where you can just, in a click of a button, bring up a missionary prayer letter. You can adopt a missionary, and that's what we've encouraged. Among those 50 missionary partnerships, we'd like to see 50 of our church families take ownership of one missionary unit or ministry and say, I'm going to keep up with all of this individual's letters. I understand when I talk about 50 missionaries and all these letters and knowing their names and their fields and their some detail about their needs or ministry, that's an awful lot to keep up with. I think we ought to all make that effort. But specifically, you can say, well, for this one missionary, I'm going to read everything that they put out. I'm going to specifically pray for them on a deeper level. And I'm going to reach out to them in a personal way, whether it's a Christmas gift, birthday card for their kids, or other things like that. Several of our missionary families are yet unspoken for. They're still orphans. They haven't been adopted by anyone in our church family. So that sign-up sheet, if you're a member and you're a part of our missions program, That sign-up sheet is at the welcome desk, and you can go and adopt a missionary this morning. But we ought to know our missionaries. I hope that you never would have the mentality that says, well, I write a check, so that's my contribution to our missions program. We ought to be able to, as you read the New Testament, as you see what Paul went through, as you see his prayers for his fellow missionaries and for the fields to which he visited, we ought to follow his example to be able to labor in prayer intentionally, knowledgeably, for those who are representing us serving the Lord. That's what mission support means. Money is part of support. Finances is an aspect of that. But that's not all of support. I would go so far as to say, if you don't know anything about our missionaries, don't care much, you write a check and that's it, we don't even need your money. This is about prayer. My treasurers are going to kill me for saying that. But seriously, what is important is to know those who labor among you in love and esteem them very highly and for the Lord's sake. We ought to know, we ought to be laboring in prayer, and that's bullet point two before I get carried away here. Pray for our missionaries. Hope you pray for our missionaries, and hope you can, by knowing them, pray for them intelligently. Not just, Lord, I pray for all the missionaries around the world, amen, but specifically to keep up with our missionaries' needs and to bring them before the Lord. We can help you with that. If you come on Wednesday nights, there's always a part of the bulletin that has an excerpt of a missionary letter. A missionary of the week is highlighted. Their picture is put up so you can put a name with a face and with a field. And we can help inform your prayers that way. You can pick up a church calendar from the literature tables. The January calendar on the front has our events, has our members' birthdays. By the way, if you're not on there, please see us. We can include you. On the back of it, each day has one or two of our missionary families or ministries, so you can pray through the missionary calendar and keep up with praying for our missionaries. And would you specifically pray this in 2022, that God would help us to keep up with our missionary commitments? Our faith promise is what we call our missions giving program. We invite each member, encourage, implore each member to commit something to the Lord that you will give each year. It can't be just the finances, but it shouldn't be less either. God has blessed us with so much, and he wants us to invest that in the global spread of the gospel. And so, hey, as we cleared the literature tables from last year's things, we left out just a few faith promise giving forms in case you just haven't made that commitment. I want that you to consider that as part of your commitment in the coming year to give financially and to give sacrificially to missions. Hudson Taylor, before he went to China, was so burdened for the people of China, wanted so badly to get to that field. Finances were a barrier. And so he wrote his mother and said, I'm going to do without some luxuries so that I can get used to what it will be like to live in China and so that I can save what little I have to get me there. I'm going to start doing without a few luxuries. The luxuries that Hudson Taylor specified were milk, eggs, and butter. So if he found that by eating brown bread for breakfast and supper and a couple of apples for lunch and just drinking water, that he could save a few pennies that would get him to China to be able to reach people. I hope you can give sacrificially to be a people of global mission. If you gave $7 on a particular day, I love how diverse our missions program is. If you gave $7, one Bible might go to print Bible tracts at Bible Tract Inc. That would go to print Arab tracts for Pakistan. $1 might go to Zambia to help put electrical lights in their church building for the first time. $1 might go to the Philippines to buy a bowl of rice for the Brunners. $1 might go to Cambodia to buy medical supplies for Dr. Johnson's medical outreach where the gospel is shared. $1 might go to India to help educate students in the Chelles Bible Institute. $1 might go to Good News Ministries here in town to clothe or feed a homeless man who will be given the gospel. $1 might go to Spain to help the waters run their youth camp. And in each of these areas, the gospel being shared, God's truth invested into people's lives, and you can be part of that. Or it's not mandatory. You could spend it on a plasma TV and surround sound and designer shoes and gourmet cat treats and all that stuff. Okay, but hey, have you ever wasted money? Have you ever made a bad investment? Have you had a hot investment that turned out to be a bear? Have you bought a car that turned out to be a lemon? Have you bought a Christmas gift that just wasn't appreciated and it was a waste of money? When you give to Global Mission, it's never a waste of money. God is investing what you give and using it for His glory around the world. We'd love to see our new missionary taken on, increase for our current missionaries. We'd love to be able to send money to help with special needs and projects as they come up. Right now, as I say, our faith promise is at 95%. We're going to see that money come in. And as you give over and above, I encourage you to designate that toward faith promise. I'd love to see our partnerships grow. Remember when the bandits are here and we're so close and we just cry when they leave? Wouldn't it be great if we had those kinds of partnerships with more of our missionaries? All right, so we got to fly here. My 2020 commitment. What are you going to do this year to be a people of Global Mission? Please write something there in that line. Maybe you need to increase what you're giving. Maybe you need to make a specific, concrete, measurable prayer commitment. Maybe you need to know our missionaries better, so your commitment is going to have to do with reading letters at some level, whether it's everything on this board or everything that comes through the VMB or at a minimum, everything that comes in the weekly prayer bulletin so that you can know, pray for, and sacrificially give to our missionaries. All right, number three, a people of vision for church growth. A people of vision for church growth. And just quickly through this one, we'll come back to this and spend a few weeks sometime this spring talking about this one. So let me just basically give you the bullet points. Pray for growth. Pray that God would grow me and grow us. In other words, individual growth in your life and corporate growth in our church body. Pray for growth. That's cliche, but seriously, would you do that? Would you start praying daily that God would grow you and that God would grow this church? Is that part of your daily prayer life, that God would grow Thompson Road Baptist Church? Is that something you're interested in? Please pray for that daily. Pray that the Lord would bring us unsaved and unchurched people. Pray that God would lead you into people's lives that you can win for Him. That's another step of not letting our missions involvement just be a check that we write. It's not even just knowing and praying for our missionaries. It's being a missionary here in our Jerusalem and building God's church that He's made us a part of here. Bullet point number two, attend faithfully. That's the blank, attend faithfully. You know, we can experience growth without a single visitor coming if everyone just shows up. And when you can, and I hate to say when you can. I think it's a V8 commercial where the doctor asks the patient, "Are you getting your vegetables?" And he says, "When I can." And I think the doctor, I think she knocks him on the head, because that's not a good answer if it just means when it's convenient, when you feel like it. But if it's literally when you can, when you're physically able, then that's a good way to be. Greater participation, I believe, greater participation equals greater kingdom impact. It's not about numbers. It's not about filling pews. It's about greater participation equals greater kingdom impact. When more people are here, stronger will be those voices of worship. When more people are here, more will be learning and equipped to do the ministry that God has called us to. More will be connecting and stronger will be those connections. More will be serving and greater will be the impact of that. So attend faithfully. And bullet point three, invite. Invite people in your sphere. Can you invite some people to church this year? Hey, I'll just say it. We've had more funerals than we've had weddings and births. Right? Pretty consistently here for some time. I'm not an expert on these types of trends, but it seems like that's not sustainable. But God this is the church that God loves. I fully believe that. And God has promised, Jesus promised, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So as long as we keep standing for right and keep pressing towards that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, He wants to do things here. And so let's ask Him to grow it. Let's pray for it. Attend. Invite people. Lauren turned 2 in November, and our infant nursery the light turned off. First time I've ever known. So we've been here more than 10 years. I hope that bothers you. Guys, we've kept it occupied for 7 years. We need some backup, all right? So we've done our part. Can you invite some people? That's what I'm getting at. You know what I mean, okay? We want to have a community day in the spring on a weekend. We're working on plans for a Friends and Neighbors Sunday coming up in fall. Just a great opportunity to invite people. We want to do some more canvassing with the door hangers. So start to think and pray toward those things. And the fourth bullet point there is low-hanging fruit, but it's necessary. Just welcome. Welcome those who come. We ought to be a warm church where those who come feel welcomed, feel valued, are prioritized, are served as guests. That's not our primary purpose as a church, to make people feel welcome and valued, but it's part of our gospel ministry, and it's a responsibility of each and every member to help us to be a welcoming church. So what's your goal? Would you write something there in that first line, your 2022 goal? Maybe you're thinking of someone you need to invite this year. Maybe you'd say, oh, I could come to canvassing. I can hang door hangers on doorknobs. I could do that. Maybe I can, you know, I'll attend more faithfully, or I'll commit to pray daily for our church growth. Write something, would you please, that you'll commit sincerely before the Lord. And then I want to share with you a corporate growth goal. I prayed about this and believe it pleases the Lord to ask Him for this, for 22% growth in 2022. And I'm talking specifically about our attendance at this morning worship service. In 2021, our average attendance in morning worship was 119. We praise the Lord for that. I want to ask the Lord, I want to invite you to ask the Lord, let's ask Him together, that our average would be, at the end of 2022, 145 over the course of the year. That's a 22% increase. We've already trended that direction in the last quarter of 2021, so it's definitely within reach. It's something God can do, and if that sounds ambitious, I hope that God does more than that, and we get to the end of the year and say, well, we should have asked for a higher number. But once again, folks, that might sound like a business model. It's not about numbers. But hey, numbers are people. And there are 0.9 million of them in our city. Double that if you count the suburbs. And I believe God wants more of them here. And so let's pray and attend and invite and welcome and ask the Lord to give us 22% growth in the coming year. And please pray this, that regardless of numbers, we're not going to be counting heads, that you're seeing if the Lord's good or not. Just regardless of numbers, that the Lord would grow you, that the Lord would grow me, that the Lord would grow us this year. All right, number four, people of the Word. People of the Word will be our theme as a point of emphasis this year. Last year was Citizens of Heaven, and we looked in 1 Peter. This year we'll be more topically surveying the biblical doctrine of bibliology, the revealed, inspired, written Word of God. And here's what we want to do with that. I'll give you four bullet points once again. Increased intake of the Word. I want to be reading and studying God's Word at a greater level this year. Increased intake. Second bullet point, increased appreciation of the Word. Boy, what an embarrassment of riches in terms of the Bible study and Bible tools, the Bible printed Word of God that we have available to us, the digital Word of God, the even audio, and you can listen to it on your smartphone for free. But what an embarrassment of riches that we have available to us, and so many of us take it for granted. Oh, it's just the Bible. You know, I'll read it when I get to it. I hope that this year, as we focus on being people of the Word, that God will increase your appreciation for His inspired Word. Number three, third bullet point under point four, increased understanding of the Word. To understand God's Word better. And that will come as we read it more, as we study it more. And fourth bullet point, increased obedience to the Word. That's the point behind it. The intake and the appreciation, understanding won't get you anywhere unless you're willing to, by God's grace and through His power, live in obedience, increased obedience to the Word. All right, so with these things, are you all right? Are you hanging in there? We're close, all right, to drawing our conclusions here. But I want to challenge you with that increased intake. Let's be reading the Bible more together this year. All right, so here's what that might look like. Maybe you noticed as you came in the lobby, a table with three different materials on it. The first one is a bookmark, looks like this. It says People of the Word, it's got our theme there, our logo on the back. Maybe you've never done faithful daily Bible reading. On the back of this bookmark is just a great place to start for you. A chapter a day, two chapters a day. You could just start in Genesis. Some of you have tried that. You get to February, into March, and get halfway through Exodus and kind of hit a bit of a brick wall that doesn't get much easier in Leviticus or Numbers. You could start in the New Testament, and you're going to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all of it, excellent, important material. You can't go wrong, but a lot of repetition there. And so what's on the back of the bookmark is called the Gospel Rotation Plan, where, we need to read about Jesus' life and ministry. The Old Testament is so important. Acts gives the history of the church. Revelation gives the future of the church. But what's on the back of the bookmark is designed to spend the most time in the instructions for the church. That's from Romans to Jude. And so this is emphasized there. You start with the gospel. You read from Romans to Jude. You read the next gospel in Romans to Jude. As you do the gospel rotation, you'll finish the gospels once, Acts and Revelation once, and actually those epistles for the church four times before moving on to the Old Testament. So I want to recommend that for you. If you've never done any regular Bible reading, start with the gospel rotation, a chapter or two per day. The second piece of material back there is a pamphlet, and it's called Read the Bible in a Year. And it's put together by a minister named Robert Machaney, I think is how his name is said. And he's got it divided into four chapters a day. He has it divided into two chapters family and two chapters private. Great idea if that fits your family situation. Maybe if you find yourself reading on your own, you can just read all four of those chapters. You can do it morning and evening or all in one sitting. But that'll help you read the Bible through in a year. Maybe you're a chapter a day, a couple chapters a day person. You've never read the Bible through in a year. I hope you'll pick up this pamphlet and make that part of your commitment for this year. The third one is the book, the booklet. You've seen this, and this is the third tier. This is the most aggressive. This one will have you reading about six chapters a day. You read the New Testament twice, the Old Testament once, and Psalms and Proverbs twice, I believe, if you follow the Bible reading calendar, which is the bigger booklet. And maybe if you've never tackled that one, I want to encourage you to try that one. Those aren't the only options. I know of at least one member here who this last quarter was reading 10 to 15 chapters a day. And sometimes the increased intake gives you the bigger picture. Sometimes the more focused attention on the smaller chunks will give you a deeper look. So I want to encourage you, no matter which one you choose, go ahead and pick up this bookmark to remind you. To put that in your Bible, to track your Bible reading, to remind you to pray that God would make us people of the Word this year with increased intake, increased appreciation, increased understanding, increased obedience to His Word. And that bookmark will be a visual reminder as well as a helpful tool. And it's got the gospel rotation plan on the back of it there as well. I have here, you may have noticed also a display case with some old and some very interesting and some foreign Bibles in there. This was given to me by one of our members. It's the Douay Bible. It's sometimes called the Douay or the Douay-Rheims Bible, if you've read about any of those. It's the English translation of the Latin Vulgate. It was used most widely, is used most widely in the Catholic Church. This does include the apocryphal books. But I bring it up here this morning because there is, in the opening page, a note from Pope Leo XIII, who was his papacy ended in 1903. This was printed, this was translated in 1609, just a couple of years before the King James. This particular copy I hold in my hand was printed in 1940, shortly after the papacy of Pope Leo XIII. Here's what's in the flyleaf, the opening page of this translation of Scripture. Indulgences, Pope Leo XIII, granted to the faithful who shall read for at least a quarter of an hour the books of the sacred scripture with the veneration due to the divine word and as spiritual reading, an indulgence of 300 days. All right. We do not believe the apocryphal books are inspired scripture. We reject the idea of any authoritative position for the Pope. We don't believe in purgatory or indulgences that are not taught in inspired scripture. But do you understand there what Pope Leo was saying? If you read the Bible 15 minutes a day, every time you do that, your time in purgatory is shortened by 300 days. That's what an indulgence is. 300 days early off your sentence in purgatory. I'm sorry if it sounds irreverent or mocking. And, you know, I saw that. It's very interesting and really, you know, brought to mind what we're going to be talking about this morning. And I thought, man, I don't have that kind of papal authority. I don't think anyone does. We don't believe in purgatory or indulgences anyway. What could I promise you if you would be faithful in your Bible reading? That's a really appealing promise if you happen to believe that way, which we reject as false doctrine. So what could I promise you? Well, there's nothing that I can declare that would be printed in your Bible as a reward except what the Lord already put there. And up on your screen, you'll see the words of Joshua 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but in it shalt thou meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And here's the promise: for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Really, as we commit to this fourth point, to be people of the word, it fuels points 1 through 3. We'll be a people of commitment to God. We'll be a people of global mission focus, and we'll be a people of vision for church growth as God gets a hold of our hearts and directs us through his word. Our verse of the month is John 17:17, where Jesus, praying to the Father, says this: sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That verse is on the front of your bulletin. Do you know Jesus' prayer request to the Father is that he would make you more like him? And the means through which that happens is truth. And the source of truth is the Word of God. So let's get excited about being people of the Word. Please write down a commitment in that final line of your outline, as far as what you'll do for Bible intake this year, Bible understanding, appreciation, and obedience. And let's commit together. Let's encourage each other, even though we'll likely be on different Bible reading plans. Let's check on each other. I'll try to give you reminders from the pulpit to track with that. Hey, we missed yesterday, so if you didn't start on this yesterday and you're going for this one, you really got to get going. You're already going to be catching up. But regardless of what you do, may God make us faithful. May God make us a people of commitment to him, a people of global mission, a people of vision for church growth, a people of the word. As we close in prayer, before I lead us in a corporate prayer, I want to encourage you to make an individual prayer. What you've written this morning, what you've committed to the Lord, I want you to commit to that to him in prayer now. So it'll be a moment of silent prayer before our closing prayer in him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the salvation of each one who has trusted you as Savior. We pray if there's one here who hasn't, that they would take that first step of getting saved today. For those who are saved, Lord, thank you for making us part of the church, the organism through which you are working in this age, the organism against which the gates of hell will not prevail. Lord, we know you want to advance it. We pray that you do that through us here at Thompson Road. We pray for your protection on this church this year. We pray for your hand of growth on your church here this year. Lord, individually, help us have hearts surrendered to you. Corporately, may we have pure hearts coming together with right motives to serve you, to lay hold of that for which you have laid hold of us, to press toward the mark of the prize of your high calling. Lord, we're asking you to move in our midst this year. This last couple of years, we've been in something of a maintenance mode, just trying to stay together and regroup through threats of the virus and other things. But Lord, we know that you want us to advance. We believe that you want us to grow. We believe that you want us to have a greater impact for your kingdom. We know that you want us to be a forward-focused, advancing people. So Lord, we commit that to you this morning. Would you make that true of each of us and of all of us? Lord, we want to ask you to bring people in. Help us, Lord, to bring people in. We're asking you for 22% growth in our morning attendance here. Part of that is just our own people coming and prioritizing that. Part of it is inviting and bringing others with us. Part of it is just you leading people here that we didn't intend or have any contact with. But Lord, please bless our efforts toward that end. Help us to be an outward-focused as well as a forward-focused people, so that more glory might be achieved for your name, because we believe, Lord, that you deserve it. Thank you for this people's heart. Thank you for patience this morning as we've gone a little long. But Lord, use this to fuel a fire that you will have to cause growth as part of our outlook for 2022. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.